listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Corulla. We're going to jump right into this episode. We are in the studio tonight with Sabina Chanturia.
How are you? I'm great, thank you.
You came all the way from Sweden, so I said, okay, I'll make the drive to Tarzana for the studio.
Right. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're here. You're making a new record. You're recording songs.
That's right.
I love and admire. Mm-hmm. And you have some songs that you've already been releasing and working on. You've been kind of like, you know, a hardcore hustling artist for about, what, 6-7 years now?
Yeah, well, around even 10 soon to be. Yeah.
And you've been a guest on Wake Up Hollywood before.
I have.
You're one of my dear songwriting students from a couple years back. And I love seeing when my songwriting students put everything into their music. And you're doing it. So it's so awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And I'm proud of you. As your teacher, I'm proud of you, but as your radio host, I'm like very excited to hear your new music. So let's talk a little bit about your influences as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. What kind of got you into music?
Wow, that's such a great question, really. You know, I've always loved music, you know, and always felt like it's very therapeutic, that you can really process anything that's going on within you, like, you know, it's a way of you kind of expressing myself that I just love, you know.
Right.
And songwriting was something that I just, you know, felt so much. It felt like home, you know.
Right. And did you pick up an instrument first? Did you start singing first?
Yeah, I was singing first, and then I was starting to write poems. And then I was like, I would like to kind of, you know, be able to, you know, sing and play. So guitar was something I was like navigating towards. To be able to perform the music.
Was there an artist that you saw playing guitar first that you were like, I want to do that? Who was it?
It was Madonna, actually.
I just saw Madonna. I should have worn my Madonna shorts.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I love her. What's crazy is how many hits she has. I mean, it's like she's...
Right.
That's amazing. So you saw Madonna playing guitar like in the early 2000s then.
Yeah, this was around like, early 2000s, like 2005, something like that. And, you know, she was standing there, like, looking very cool with the guitar, electric guitar. I was like, huh, like, you know, because there was a lot of guys, you know, doing that. And then I saw her and I was like, she's feminine, she's cool, she's badass, kind of.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be like that, you know. So that was something that sparked something within me. Like, I'm like, that's why I think piano was not really my thing. Like, guitar was something more rocky, kind of.
It's funny because for me, it was Paul McCartney when I first saw him on the Let It Be concert footage. But when I saw Dave Matthews playing guitar, I was like, whatever that is, that's it. So it's funny how these images of people that you admire strike songwriters so deeply.
Exactly.
And it's like, you remember that moment.
Uh-huh.
And then you pick up a guitar and you're like, oh, this hurts. My fingers are hurting pushing these damn strings. How did you get past that first hurdle? Because most people don't get past that first.
Yeah, and you know, it was steel strings.
Yes. Yes, those are the worst.
The worst. Semi-acoustic.
Yes.
Even worse than electric,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it hurt. It hurt, and I was like, you know, it was bleeding and stuff, and I was like, you know, but I was like, no, it has to work somehow. So, you know, now I have very strong fingers.
Well, it's funny, too, because it's like when you first start, you don't realize how painful it is.
Right.
Because it's like, you just want to play a couple chords.
Right.
And most people don't realize
that
you're hurting for a couple of weeks, months, and getting used to that sensation. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like it's not a great feeling.
No.
But then you have to push through that. And it's usually some emotional pain or something that, you know, drives you that's much bigger than the pain that you're feeling.
Exactly.
And, you know, you start writing a song mm-hmm. or you start learning songs. What songs did you start learning? Madonna songs, or what songs did you start learning?
Like Prayer.
Oh, that's a great
that was,
song.
You know, oh my God. And I remember seeing, like, speaking of seeing things, like, I saw her music video. It was like an 80s special music video kind of TV show or something. And I saw like a prayer and I was like, wow, you know, for me, somehow that really, I was actually going to a Catholic school.
Wow.
So that connection
really resonated. You're like,
did really resonate with me. And I was like, oh, wow, this is very interesting and, you know, different from the world I was in. So, but somehow it really, I felt a huge connection, and that's how I kind of, but anyway, so yeah, especially the F chord.
One. The bar chords.
Oh my God, that was, so I especially in the beginning was choosing, you know, C, G, open chords to kind of get around that.
Right.
But then, I mean, just in the very beginning.
So you don't think about that. Like, what's funny is I don't think about that either. But when you're interviewing another artist and you realize that how you started, you start thinking, oh, yeah, it was a little bit rough at the beginning.
Yeah, it was, actually.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really thinks about that. Like,
right.
You hurt a little bit. But it's a good hurt when you get past that. And then you start channeling that energy into writing songs. And when did you first want to make a record?
Yeah, that was probably around... pre-university, like high school, then I was starting to think about recording, and because I'd been performing live a lot, but had nothing properly recorded
yet. Were you doing like open mics or like local performances?
Yeah, stuff like that, open mics and local things, and also like within the school setting, we had like, you know, music showcases and stuff, so...
Did you ever make flyers, or is that like way past your time?
Flyers, yeah, we did a few. Yeah,
because I remember that used to be the big thing. I used to have to go to Kinko's or like some printing store and like print out flyers at like 2 a.m.
Wow.
And then have them passed out all over on the day of the show or whatever it was. It was. I don't miss those days at all. But but you know, most people are now. It's like right now, I just do a graphic, and it's like. Thank goodness that whole printing part is
the
out.
Printing
it's
is not too exciting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, it's, and you spend money doing it too, and it's also a pain in the butt. It's like I can send you a flyer much easier, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
totally.
We're in a visual world, and it's nice to kind of have some of the technology catch up with some of the, you know, ways that we can express in, you know, and promote our show.
Definitely.
So you were doing local shows, and then did you do them with a band? Did you play in a band?
Yeah, so it was. Mostly it was me, I mean, an acoustic setting, me, guitar. That was like the setting. But I had also a few, you know, people that were playing with me as a band as well. I was, in the very beginning, I was in bands as well. But I was just feeling like it was too much of a, I was like, no, I want to go solo. I want to do it on my own terms.
You're like, this is too difficult.
And, you know, I didn't really find the right people, I guess, for the band. Plus, I really wanted to go solo. Yeah. So I was like, oh, you know what,
You know what's
solo.
Good about it? It's like you're the boss. You're the
kind of.
I did the band in the early years, and it's like you can feel the power of struggles and the times of war. And,
yeah, no.
And then you always, you know, Don Henley said this. He said, "No band is a democracy," and it's like I think there's absolute truth in that because somebody has to lead it. And if you're going to lead it and do more work and do the writing and the arrangements, then you basically are solo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's times where I'm like, okay, I love having a band. And there's times where I'm like, I love being a solo artist with the band for that reason. So I love that we can relate on that because I know that struggle, you know?
Right.
And you have an interesting background. Your family's also from Georgia, the country.
That's right.
And Sweden. And you live in Sweden.
Yeah.
So tell me what that duality is like because those are totally two different cultures.
Yeah, they sure are. So my mother's Swedish. My dad is from Georgia, the country, and I'm born and raised in Sweden, and of course, and I was 12 years the first time I came to Georgia, and that was, you know, really cool because I felt like I found a piece of myself coming there. It was really very special, and people even told me, you know, when I came back to Sweden, they were like, oh, you're very different now, like something seems to...
You're like, it must be the Georgia in me.
right, yeah, and it was somehow, you know, I felt like I connected with a part of me that was not really... awaken before up until that point. So But
do you think it was like seeing people that looked like you, yeah, or like eating foods that you kind of like, you know, were different? Yeah. 'Cause I'm sure there's foods that are different than what most people eat in Sweden.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. But it was also visually very much like people were looking like me, kind right, of, you know, right. Felt like, oh, okay. And also, you know, just meeting family that I've only had heard of,
right,
never seen,
right,
in person. That was very special. And my grandmother on my Georgian side, she was a singer, and she was, you know, folk singer playing like a Georgian instrument called panduri, like a small guitar. Yeah,
I love that instrument.
And so she had passed, you know, so I never saw her, unfortunately. But everyone was like, oh, you remind us so much of her. And, you know, even like how you look, how you sing, your voice, everything. So that was very special to come there and really connect with that whole thing, you know. So,
well, you probably took the ownership of the responsibility of being an artist from knowing that somebody you were related to was kind of very creative as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, some, you know, special, and something that strengthened me, you know, when I came back. I was like, okay, I kind of, you know, when you're like 12, your head is a mess, right?
Right,
you're,
right.
Yeah, everyone has their identity crisis, right? But for me, that was very powerful.
And were you listening to music from Georgia then? Were you kind of like taking sounds? Because that's the one thing that, I mean, my family's from India, but I mm-hmm. grew up here.
Right.
And, you know, I know Indian music, but it's never been like this main influence.
Right. Me, you know, honestly, I would love to say that, yes, I was listening to a lot of Georgian. The truth is, I was not really listening to a lot of Georgian music like that. I mean, I knew, of course, folk music, and whenever it moves me so much, and even when they're dancing, it's so funny. I always get tears in my eyes.
Oh,
I don't know
cool.
why.
That's cool.
But I get so moved emotionally, right, you know, from that. But
it's 'cause your own culture. Celebrating
there's something
music.
With that. Yeah. Yeah. But back then I was listening to a lot of indie pop rock, you know, Swedish indie pop rock and Madonna, and, you know, had my, you know, bands, House Gods that I was listening to. So
what's really interesting is how much American culture is everywhere around the world.
Exactly.
Like, you don't realize how much, especially music and movies. I think those two things just are so like ever-present in every culture. Because when I would spend summers in India with my family, I just remember, like, I would want to go to a music store, and everybody was obsessed with the pop hits or
right.
like American music.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, even more so, and some music that we weren't really, that wasn't that big, was huge in those parts of the world because they thought it was big in America.
Right.
So it was just interesting to see, like, how the, you know, like, what's popular in what parts of the world and what parts of American culture are also kind of like, you know, in your own culture, you know what I mean? So
right.
Did you find that you were being influenced by, because Sweden has an amazing, beautiful pop music scene. Did you kind of take some of the, they always say like there's something in the water there. Were you kind of absorbing just like the music scene in Sweden a little bit, because there's so much pop sensibility over there?
Right. Yeah, I was definitely picking up on different things and different bands and glam rock, indie pop, all sorts of things. And, of course, ABBA was actually...
It's one of my favorite bands.
You know, wow, yeah, because it was funny. When I was like 7, 8 years old, and everyone was listening to Britney Spears,
right.
Christina Aguilera was that kind of generation, you know. And I was not into that at all. I was listening to ABBA, Greatest Hits, Mamma Mia, Dancing Queen, and I was even dressing, you know, in 70s clothes. And it was so funny because, you know, I'm a 90s kid, really.
Yeah,
so that was a bit funny. But
wait, so your parents must have been listening to them. How did you get into ABBA?
I got it as a Christmas gift, I remember, like Golden Hits or Greatest
ABBA
Hits.
Gold.
Or,
ABBA Gold.
ABBA Gold.
That's
that
right.
was, yeah, exactly. So, and I was like listening to that and really like liking, you know, how the girls looked, Frida and Agneta. And I mean, I was really like, oh, they look so great. And the music, most of all, of course. But yeah, so there was something about that, about, you know, being kind of a little bit of an outsider, but not giving a damn kind of
thing. You know what's funny about ABBA? My parents both loved ABBA. And I remember one of my mom's friends put on an ABBA record.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, they were both cooking dinner, and I was a toddler. And my mom and she, they were all dancing in the living room.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this band is awesome. Because I'd never seen my mom just, like, busting a move in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And they were totally, fully, like, having a great time.
Wow.
Just partying and enjoying music. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is great. This is like feel-good music. You
yeah.
know, because usually, like, classical music is also was always playing. My dad loves classical music, and you know, that's always, it's a cool sound, but it's very chill. You know what I mean? But like with pop music, there's a life to it that has an energy, and it makes you want to move. It makes you want to dance. And so ABBA was like the first band that made me go, wow, this is, these are beautiful melodies, great arrangements. So I love that you use that as a reference, because nobody says ABBA is an influence.
Right, they don't, right?
But you're from Sweden, so of course.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, but even in my class, I remember people were like, no one listens to ABBA. You know, it was not cool, you know?
Right.
But I was like, I don't care, it's great.
Right.
So, and that's truly, yeah. I mean, there was something about it, you know, just so uplifting, positive. And also, like, you could dream away. I was, I loved, you know, to crank up the volume and just sit in the living room and, like, listen to the music and just go places, you know, in my mind. And I'd be like, you know, have a vivid imagination. So I would just, you know, think about breakups and being in love and all these things.
And that's my favorite thing to do, is just to daydream and listen to music.
Just daydreaming like that after school. That was something very...
Well, let's play one of your songs. What do you want to play first?
Fire and Flame, I'm thinking.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this before we play it. So what was the inspiration behind Fire and Flame?
Yeah, so that's, it's a love song, but it's, I would say it's a passion song.
Okay.
Kind of.
We like passion, that's
passion,
good.
Yeah. So it's called Fire and Flame. It's, well, obviously about, you know, the fire within that we have. And it's also about feeling alive, feeling very, you know, a rush. Feeling strong emotions, feeling feeling passion, you know, basically. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, here, let's play it. Let's play it. Here's Sabina Chanturia with Fire and Flame.
Temperature is rising faster than the speed of light. I don't know what you've done to me. I never fall so easily.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. What a great video.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So tell me, where did you shoot that? You were just saying a little bit about it, but it's something our listeners should hear.
So it was in LA, actually, 2019, in Studio 60. It was really cool, like a big film studio. And we had built up, you know, beautiful sets and actors and everything. It was really special.
And how many cameras did you use? Do you remember?
I'm
putting you on the spot.
Oh, wow.
I always think about
this
now. That's
interesting. Well, definitely.
Two or three, you think?
Two.
Okay.
I'm thinking, yeah, cool. Yeah. It was like one day shoot.
One day shoot? And you were just singing your song the whole time? Most people think it's easy to do that. It's not. Tell me about your process, about what you thought about just doing
it. You know, it was overwhelmingly amazing to do it. Of course, it was so much fun, and I was really trying to, you know, soak up everything and enjoy it very much. But yeah, it was hard work, very much. There's one part where I'm playing guitar. There's one part where I'm like interacting with this guy. There's another part where I'm looking into the mirror, you know, and you know, going through a box of old letters and stuff like that. Right. So it was like different, you know, scenes that we were
working through. And you also have like a director, like, okay, now do this. Now, yeah. Okay, now try this.
Exactly. And it's so interesting because they know what they want, you know, exactly. I mean, and it's interesting to go through that, you know. You might be, okay, you do the same thing exactly like this again and like, okay, how's this going to look in the end? But then it does, you know, look.
It does translate.
It does.
Eventually. Well, it's a well-put-together song.
Thank you.
It's a well-put-together video.
Thanks.
Did it make you want to do more music videos?
Oh, yes, it did.
So it's funny because, like, in the process, I've done a couple, and it's so exhausting. But then when you have the video forever and you can keep watching it, it makes you want to do it. You're like, oh, this is such a cool experience.
Yeah.
But people don't realize. I'm sure you were there early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you were there till the late hours of the evening.
Yes.
And it's like you're doing a lot of the same shots,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing a lot of the same kind of prep for each shot, and then they're changing. Okay, we want you here in this different part of the room.
Right.
Part of that is it's the repetition that maybe it's not as exciting as practicing a song or singing a song.
Right.
But there's something that is so great when you see it. You see you're a player in the game, and then when you see the whole thing unfold, you're like, I mean, this is a great music video. It's well put together.
Thanks.
Beautiful song. Awesome. Very awesome. And you recorded this with Kevin Jarvis, right?
I did.
We're giving Kevin Jarvis a little shout out because
it's
a mutual friend that we just discovered. We both know Kevin Jarvis. So shout out to Kevin Jarvis.
He is amazing.
He is amazing. Great drummer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm releasing an episode of Sight and Sounds recorded in his studio. And you've been working with him again in his studio.
I have,
Very
yesterday
excited.
Even.
That's so crazy. Let's talk about your influences as far as your songwriting now. Now you see how much music is in the market. You see, you mentioned Lana Del Rey, The Weeknd. Are there current pop stars that have infiltrated into your writing or your psyche as far as your vision of songs?
Right. There are quite many, I would say. Taylor Swift.
Right.
Fleetwood Mac.
They're one of my babes.
Tori Amos.
Yeah, she's one of I just saw her, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw her about 6 months ago. She was amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a great songwriter. Just a great talent.
That's crazy, yeah. I mean, to mention a few, and then, you know, yeah, like I like also old bands like Blondie.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac is pretty...
They're one of my faves. I actually just covered a Fleetwood Mac song at our Songwriter in the Round, and they're one of my favorite bands.
Mm.
They're just like one of the best bands. Great songs,
right.
Great arrangements. You know, a lot of people don't know how great Fleetwood Mac is in this new generation.
Mm.
Like, unless they see a TikTok video or something, and
right.
I'm like, how are you just discovering this band that's been around since the 70s?
Right.
So how did you get into them? Were your parents into Fleetwood Mac?
No, not much. Stevie Nicks kind of discovered her voice because people are like, your voice reminds us of her. And I was like, thank you. And I was like, I got to check this out, really.
Right.
And so that's how I came into the Fleetwood Mac kind of thing. And I was like, wow, this is so great. Like, I'm really loving this
such
music.
Such a great sound. It's got everything you want. It's got guitar playing. It's got arrangements. It's got pocket. It's just... got groove. It's all the things I like in music.
Exactly. So, And then, you know, I also like, you know, Lana Del Rey, Taylor Swift. So I have like a, and I like Mozart. I mean, I like many things, you know, yeah. basically. For me, melody is very important somehow.
Well, know. It's catchy it's, in your music, yeah. too. You can tell. I can always hear when somebody thinks about melody a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's your, I mean, it's also, that's the Swedish part of you. I mean, because melody is huge in Swedish music.
Right.
And that's one of the things I respect so much about Swedish pop music or just melodies in general from the 70s. I mean, you just hear it in the writing. So I love that that's a forefront of, you know, when you're writing something. When you're in the studio and you're arranging something, tell me, like, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, I want piano, I want strings? I like, tell me that, that process for you. What's your vision for your songs?
Well, the vision is, well, basically a lot of it is guitar-based, I would say, but doesn't necessarily have to be guitar, you know, all the time, of course. But right. still, it's something that I love guitar, so... no surprise that there's a lot of guitar in the music. But I'm thinking, you know, I kind of think about, go on instinct a lot of the times. You know, I can kind of hear what, and I also like to work with producers because I like the way that you can kind of have another person's, you know, experience and knowledge and input to your own music. You know, I love that sort of collaboration very much. So, but yeah, I want to feel things. I want to feel... It's kind of hard to put to words, but I know the feeling that I want to have, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
So
you mean when you hear the whole arrangement or even when you just hear like the initial arrangement?
Initial arrangements. And then you think, okay, we're on to something like this is or something. No, this is, does not really feel, doesn't sit well with the feeling that I want to. Yeah.
You know what's funny? What I do is like I love, I'll write something and I'll say, oh, this kind of sounds like this other song I love. And then I'll go and listen to that song and I'll just start thinking, oh, how can I make this like modern or different or similar but parallel in a completely different universe, you know, in some way. So I always, I love this question because every artist thinks about all of this differently. Sometimes it could be a drum beat that starts the whole thing.
Right.
And then they run with that. But it's like, I always tend to write the song and then think of all the parts. So it's fascinating that you're also like that. You think about the arrangement as you're putting it together.
And definitely.
Do you ever feel like, you know, when you're doing something creatively that you have to kind of like stop listening to input from other people sometimes? Because like you can have 10 people in a room and you're all recording and then 9 different ideas are thrown at you. And do you have to kind of like silence them a little bit or do you kind of absorb the ideas, try and experiment them? Like, what's that process?
I'm kind of open to trying, but then I also know what I don't like and what I like.
Right.
And then I can be very much like, you know, no.
Yes, I'm the same way. I think you're a lot more diplomatic about it.
I try to be.
I'll be like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, let me try this idea first.
Exactly, yeah. And you're like, no.
Yeah. Like, but I bet you're a lot nicer about it.
I try to be very...
I feel like I'm like, I'll have a blank stare. Like, I'm not feeling this at all. But okay, let's try it. But I've learned over time that let's try it is a very good way to experiment. Mm-hmm. And it could surprise you.
Definitely.
And sometimes, you know, my lead guitarist on one of our songs... He was like, why don't we flip the chord progression? And every part of me was like, I don't know about that.
Right.
And then we did it. And I was like, I love it. Yeah. This is such a cool idea. Mm-hmm. And now I can't hear the song any other way.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So you never know.
And you never know. And so I definitely try to be open and try it. You know, you should. Right. You should. That would be stupid, I think, not to. You know.
But it's hard when you love a song that you've been...
Yeah, it's your baby.
It's your baby. Yeah.
And you're like,
nobody really cares about your baby like you.
That is true. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So good. It's good to know that I'm not alone on this because every now and then I'm like, am I a tyrant? Am I that hardcore?
Or like a control freak. I feel like I am a control freak.
I think you have to be.
Yeah. Like you have to be, you know, and I don't just leave things to chance, you know, random. Like I really want to be involved and have control over things, you know.
Well, sometimes I think people have ideas that they're in the moment, but they won't care about that idea 6 months later.
Mm.
And if it's on your record and then you're like, man, why did I listen to that?
Yeah.
Now it's on my record 6 months later.
You have to live with it, right?
You have
right?
to live with it. So yeah. it's like I'm really open to like hearing the idea and trying to feel like, do I like this? If I don't, we're aborting this right now.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, totally. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's good to know. Thank you. That was a question for me. So.
Right.
let's play your second song. What do you want to play next?
I want to play Stranger.
All right. Tell me a little bit about this song.
So this is a song that's, well, about someone that used to be very close to me. And I guess people can relate to this, that we've all had people close to us that then, you know, as time go by, they become like strangers. You know,
right.
You share history together. You know things about each other that, you know, you share a lot, but you are just not connected the same way you used to be. And that can be very painful, and it can be, you know, yeah, something that is hard to kind of handle and
right.
process.
People come and go in our life, you know.
They do.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird part of the process, and it's like sometimes you don't think about it until later. So I'm excited to hear the song. Here's Stranger by Sabina Chanturia. Watching the video, just beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about this, because this song took you to some cool places. Tell me what the inspiration was and how the recording process worked for you.
Yeah, so the inspiration was very much, you know, the feeling that I was mentioning before, you know, with this whole, you know, kind of pain of having known someone, being so close, and
right.
then you are not, you know, in that headspace anymore, basically. But I also had this idea that I wanted to do something kind of pop sounding,
right.
you know? And again, melody is, of course, very important in pop music, right? So, and then this feeling came over me. And usually for me, I always, you know, I feel very much. And if I don't feel it, I can't really, you know, translate it into a song. So I was feeling this. And then also, so it kind of came together like that. And this song was, I think I wrote it in like 20 minutes or something.
What?
Yeah, it was so fast. And I was not, you know, I had been thinking for a long time, like I should write a song like that. I would really like to do it. But then when this happened, I was not thinking like, okay, I'm doing it. It was just, you know, like inspiration, you know, just hitting me. So it was very fast writing this song. And then I took it to a great producer, that Amir Ali, a Swedish producer. And
How do you say his name again?
Amir Ali.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Amir, so cool. Lamir?
Amir Ali.
Ali?
Yeah.
Wow. But how did you say it?
Amir Ali.
Ali. That's cool. That is a cool way to say a name. Right?
Yeah. Awesome. And he's a great, great producer, great guy. And so I came to his studio. I played two songs, but not this one first, which was funny because the other song, he was like, do you have another one? And then I played this, and he was like, 30 seconds into it, he was like, yeah, this is the one we should record.
That's awesome. And the arrangement's very pop heavy. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, it brings out the melody, but it's also like the arrangement's driving. It's really cool. It's like,
right.
I always love when there's a sad song or like a melancholy mm-hmm. vibe to a song,
right.
But it has a lot of energy to it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't feel that same energy to it. It can become like an anthem. Mm. And then you can get the whole world singing it. It's like, it's really weird. I do that a lot with my own songs. I'll take a painful song and then put something really upbeat around it so that people can, like, you know, move to it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and you did the same thing. It's really awesome. Really, really
thank
cool.
you.
And you went to the final you represented Georgia for Eurovision.
Right.
With this song.
Well, it was the national final in Amazing. Georgia. So I was one of the finalists with this song. And so it took me places and got me my first publishing deal as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was really cool, and it's a special song to me.
Very, very cool. Well, we were just talking about this earlier. You came in to my class, and I asked you to play a song, and you played me Fire and Flame.
Yeah.
And then you ended up writing a song when we were working together, and you wrote Wild and Free.
Yes.
And I just knew, like, you know, when somebody writes consistently and well, you just know there's going to be a story with this artist. You're one of those artists where I'm just like, thanks. You're going to have a story and mm-hmm. you're going to just keep writing songs. When you know you're going to write a song, what is that feeling like for you? Do you feel it in your body? Do you feel like, okay, I need to, is it an emotional feeling?
Yeah.
I feel the same thing. I want to see what right. the parallel is, if there is one.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so. Like, I'm feeling something that I'm like, this has to get out somehow. Yes. You know, yes. It has to translate into a song. And not thinking like, oh, this, you know, this will be a great song or this will be a very catchy song. I'm just, it needs to
get out of you.
To get out somehow. Yeah. And then I just pick up the guitar. Usually it's the guitar. And melody and lyrics usually come at the same time, you know. So I just, you know, kind of... yeah, feel my way through it, and usually it ends up in being a song.
That's awesome. Well, the reason I ask is I have that same thing where it's like you feel something deeply. It could be like you see a story or maybe something happened to you, or it's like you're in a tug of war and in a relationship or something, and then it's just like you're so emotionally overwhelmed that you just need to get that energy out of you so you can breathe a little bit.
Exactly.
And it's really weird because it's like, I always wonder, like, do people go through this when they're not creators, and how do they get it out? Is it working out, or is it like something where they have to do something to get that energy out? And for me, it's music. And I would also say working out too is huge because it just gets the energy out of you in some way. But most of the time for me, it's grabbing a guitar and playing and just kind of like channeling. So I love that you channel too. That's
I really do. I do. And it's something, it's something great about it, really.
Yeah.
And
I think it's like therapy. It's like,
exactly.
It's like the best therapy, the best therapist and therapy you can
exactly.
never have to pay for.
It's free,
right? It pays
right?
you.
It pays off. Hopefully.
It pays off. Yeah, that's exactly it. So tell me about how are you writing now? What are you writing now?
You mean what I'm recording now?
Yeah. Are you writing like love songs? Are you writing pop? Are you writing introspective? There's so much going
What's
on
happening,
in the world.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the pandemic was very interesting because then I was writing so many songs, so much. And Also, you know, going through the emotions that we were, everyone was like in shock, right?
Right.
What's happening? Like, what's this new reality that we're having? We can't go back. What's the new normal? All these feelings and how everything just changed. So there was one song, Changes, that I wrote, and I'm about to, well, I'm recording it also right now, with Ventura-based music producer Dave Jenkins, that I'm very happy to work with.
And you have a very big drummer on that.
So yes.
You can mention his name. Let's name drop a little bit.
Right. So Kenny Aronoff.
Very big Hollywood LA drummer in the music scene.
I'm very fortunate, really. And so Changes. So that, for example, I mean, that's a song that's really, you know, about what we all were going through. And that's a we perspective also, you know, because it felt like it was, you know, something everyone was just in, you know.
Right, right.
For example, so a little bit of that, and also, you know, loss. You know, I've lost a lot of people. So there's also, you know, things that, well, life basically,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
But I guess, you know, it's interesting. Whenever you hear a song, it can mean something different for someone than the original idea
right.
from the songwriter. So right. It depends, but yeah.
Yeah, there's some artists that don't print their lyrics in the album or vinyl or whatever it is
right.
for that reason. Seal's one of those people. He's like, I don't want people to interpret my songs and then be disappointed by a lyric they thought meant something else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's such an interesting way to think about it because, you know, when we write, we're writing from a very true point from ourselves.
Yes.
We don't realize how these songs can affect other people with what they're going through in their own lives. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Songs can mean different things to people. Or catch them at very weird times in their life to
exactly.
document their emotional, you know, upheavals, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Like, that's something really that, you know, I think is interesting how it can mean different things to different people. And that, yeah.
Well, let's play something else. What are you going to play us next?
Echoes.
Echoes. So, tell me a little bit about this song.
Yeah, so speaking of time and memories, so it's about making the most of the time that we have, basically. It's a kind of, you know, reflecting song, like reflecting upon memories and also remembering someone that's no longer with you, basically. And there's something beautiful in that bittersweetness, too.
Right.
So that's what it's about, basically. And also, Kenny is playing drums on this one.
I'm excited to hear it. All right, let's jump right to it. This is Echoes by Sabina Chantoria.
Echoes, echoes, take me back.
Very cool. I mentioned earlier that your boyfriend is in this.
Yeah,
that must have been a little bit difficult to have him like, okay, you're going to act in this video. Was he like, what?
Oh, he did a great job. He did a great job. But of course, it's a little funny when you're like, okay, we have to act, you know, like we're talking now, but we're acting at the same time, right? So that was a funny experience for both of us.
Did you have to push him a little bit? Like, come on, make it look like you're very... Like romantic with me right now? Or was he just like, I can do this? This is my life right now. What was it like? Because you had to direct him a little bit, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, no, we were very much in the moment. He did a good job on that. Yeah. Well,
good job. Good work. Well, so tell me about the song when you were recording. You said you recorded vocals here, and then you shot the video in Sweden.
Yeah.
And you shot it in a very peculiar place. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right, so it's in the south of Sweden, countryside. And there's one place with a big oak, you know, tree, and there's a big, well, very round hill, and it's actually a grave, you know, Viking grave or something. So that place has a lot of history and, you know, echoes of time. So it was kind of funny how, you know, I was like, this is a good, you know, visually interesting looking location.
And did you get drone shots for those aerial shots?
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
We did.
Very cool. Just looked awesome. Just looked like a really nice place, too. That must be a very nice graveyard, I will say. If I want to get buried, I like that place.
It was very lonely, you know. It was not so crowded.
So how did you – you were like – you told your boyfriend, you said, do you want to come to this graveyard with me and shoot a music video?
No, we were actually in different places as well. There was one little like city built up, like country western city in Sweden.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we did a few shots there too.
Well, I love the look. You were very Americana, like going full on western style. So tell me what that
was. We were kind of flirting with that whole Americana thing, you know, like pop meets Americana somewhere in the crossover. Yeah, that was very much, I mean, yeah, I like that a lot, you know, to kind of also do it with a look and everything. And
I like that you're thinking like that. You were talking off the air and you said Madonna did that with so many different looks.
Right.
And that inspires you. And I think you should keep doing that.
Thank you.
Like, it like identifies with the songs that you're writing so much. And it's like another level of expression. So
right.
I think it's always cool when artists do that.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. Who are you listening to right now?
Oh, wow. Actually, Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. It's been going on rotation in my on my Spotify. Listening to Lana Del Rey a bit. I'm listening to The Sounds, Swedish pop rock band.
Oh, I don't know them.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool.
They're very cool, actually. Very rock pop kind of. Different things. Different artists and band.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like I always love knowing what artists have their finger on the pulse on, because it's like you never know who's being inspired at what moment and what they're listening to that's going to create the next song. Like when I'm going to a studio, there's always something I'm listening to that I'm going to draw from and try to emulate in a studio, whether it's an old record or a current record. So I always like think about that. When you're going to the studio and you're, you know, listening to music at home, do you listen to stuff that you're like, oh, I could use this for this next recording that I'm doing? Do you kind of draw from that?
I think I do, but maybe not like that in the way that I'm thinking I'm going to use exactly this. Not that, but something that I feel, you know, in the studio that, okay, this is something that I've heard before and I would like to use, you know, kind of. But yeah, I guess so. Yeah, actually, I guess I do.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's like I think the studio is this like kind of a safe place. It's like a it's like a cave where you can just go and hide for a little bit, and nobody can hear exactly what you're doing or what you're thinking about. And I think what you listen to and what you're watching, what you're reading, all of those things influence what you're going to say, what you're going to do in the studio. And it's like this weird silent voice that nobody knows about, but it's inspiring your work. So, you know, like I'm kind of like very careful about what I'm watching or when I'm going into the studio. When I know I'm going to the studio,
right?
Okay, I know what I'm going to listen to or what. So I love that you kind of think about that a little bit.
Right.
Do we have another song? Did you send us another one?
Oh, I have three, but we could have Spiderweb up, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk a little, why don't we talk a little bit about what you're working on right now? Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, you're recording two songs, three songs?
Actually, in total, three new songs are in the making right now.
Tell me what each of those songs are about.
So the first one is called Changes, and that's the one I mentioned a little bit before. You know, but it could be also, you know, personal changes, because right. in life there is no way, we can't go through life without change, right? It's, you know,
change is the absolute constant,
right? It's the transformations, and we kind of have to, you know, embrace it, I guess, at some right. point, right? So that's
I love that you're talking about that, and you're so young. It's like you're so young, and to think like that is you're ahead of the curve. Like,
you think
and most people don't think like that. Most people aren't thinking. They're not thinking about change.
Right.
I think about it all the time. I'm like so resistant to it, but I'm like, no, things are changing all the time. So right. that's cool.
Well, I feel like, you know, within myself, I'm also changing, you know. I feel that, you know.
Right.
So, but, and it could be on a more, you know, bigger level in terms of the world is changing. Right. I mean, different things. So that's one song, and I'm very, very excited about, well, all of them, of course. But it's very catchy, and I think it's, yeah, it's very nice how we've been recording it, so I'm super excited about that. And the other one, Hold On, is, well, there's a lot of melancholy in that one, about loss, about, you know, holding on to, you know, love that kind of haunts you in a way.
Right. Yeah.
Love and loss, that kind of thing with, you know, when you dream about someone,
yeah,
that kind of thing goes very deep.
Yeah. When it's affecting your subconscious.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's that one. And then Wild and Free is the third one I'm recording. And that is basically to be yourself, be liberated with, you know, being free, you know, whatever that means. And
well, I love that you, like, that's one of the songs I remember you brought into class. And that song, it's like, we write songs sometimes to kind of like tell ourselves how to remind us to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I write songs all the time like that. Like, remember to do this. Remember to be like this. Like, it's like sometimes we need that reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So was that Wild and Free kind of like that for you? Were you kind of like telling yourself, like, stay wild, stay free?
Exactly. Yeah, it was kind of a reminder and, you know, encouragement and some sort of, a reminder is a good word because that's what it is ultimately, I think, to, you know, be yourself and not limit yourself and not, you know, you try to conform all the time. But what is really, well, who are you, you know?
Right. I love that.
So, and the fire within, to not let it, you know, just die down.
Yeah.
So.
People allow it to die. And I love when people remind us, like you,
right,
to keep it alive, because that's what life's all about.
Thank you.
Where can people find you online if they want to find you?
They can find me pretty much everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music. I'm on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook. And I have the website, sabinashantoria.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb. All
right. So www.sabina, which is S-A-B-I-N-A. And then we have the long Georgian surname, which usually gets people confused. So Chantoria, which is Chantoria.com.
And that's not two O's. It's one O.
One O.
That's right. You said two O's for a second.
Did I?
You were thinking about how to spell. You know
what's problem is with my.
You're like, wait a minute. How do I spell my last name? That's all right. We all get there. We all get right. there eventually.
Yeah.
You know what's cool about your last name? I think there's a French root to your last name, which means singer.
Yeah, like
chanteur.
Chanteuse.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So it's in your name that you were born to be a singer. This is amazing. Well. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. And I just want you to know that whenever you come back, I want you to keep coming back and bringing new songs and keep us aware of your musical journey. And thank you for being a guest and coming back. This is what it's all about.
Thank you so much.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you as your teacher. I'm proud of you as just a music fan. So keep it up. Wow. And I would like to give a special shout out to my mom and dad because today is their 51st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So happy anniversary to my mom and my dad. And last announcement, I'm about to fly out to play Summerfest on Thursday. We're opening for the Nappy Roots, and we're also playing Chicago the night before tomorrow night, Wednesday, June 26th at Reggie's Live. So hopefully you guys can come out. We'll see you guys next week. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Sabina, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We out!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.